In Mark's prayer, he said, under the sun. And we think about under the sun, many, many, many millions of people think that this life is all there is. That you go around once and that's it. And that is the perspective that Solomon writes this book, these 12 short chapters. And for us, we have the hope that there are things beyond this life, but you don't neglect your service in this life. In this life, Solomon has given us direction also from time to time in the book on how to live this life here in this physical existence. And prayerfully, we take that to heart as we go through this book and learn the things that he has written for us. God has preserved for us, that God works through providence to provide the things that he wants to have happen in this life. Thank you for your attendance this morning, and we're in chapter 8 again. We're beginning with that. Eight's interesting, as again some other chapters to follow, is that he talks about kings. I think Solomon knows something about being a king. He didn't just have a couple of years on the job or 4 years on the job and then he's gone. He had a lifetime, really, 40 years at this work. And no doubt he learned much. He saw much. He experienced much. And again, God blessed him with the wisdom to explain this and to write it down precisely as God would want it written down for the people of his age, the ages to come, through Christ's time, and our time until the time to the earth is no more. So these are words of wisdom. Again, a lot of things we have to understand about rulership and kingship and those who would have, physical power over our life here on earth. In this chapter 8, he talks about this kind of king, this kind of ruler. And as you see in the first 10 verses, some wisdom. When you're living under this powerful, it says capricious. A capricious is a person who's moody, one who does things on a whim. It's a king that has this power of life and death, of imprisonment, can ruin you. And he works on things of a whim or moody. And that's this kind of king he's talking about here. But in addition to that moodiness, he has the power to execute those moods that he's in, those capricious actions that he has. And truly you need to watch out for that kind of king. Some people would say, and sometimes rightly so, that governments these days operate that way in certain parts of the world to preserve their power, to preserve their influence, and to preserve their income. So it's not unlike some times today that we can see. Peripherally, how do we live under that? How do we adapt ourselves? Do we give up certain things? Do we change our attitudes? So he's kind of given us some advice for that. Does it directly apply today? That's for you to decide if it's applicable today in every detail. So as he talks about in chapter 8, how do we use wisdom? How do we use the things that the attitudes we have? The moods we have, to live under this kind of king, this kind of rulership. And in the first verse, it says, who is like the wise man who knows the interpretation of a matter? A man's wisdom illumines him, causes his stern face to beam. Well, he's putting down a basic here, that wisdom is the basis for knowing the interpretation of a thing. Whether in life or whatever it is, we stand back a little bit, apply wisdom to a situation that you're in. And that's a good norm for everyone to deal with. Again, don't act capriciously. So that's how he approaches this. And a man's wisdom illuminates him and causes his stern face to beam. Now that beam is a word that says brightens up or change. And in life sometimes you go along, you may read things or you question things, and all of a sudden the light comes on. Oh, that's what was meant. Oh, that changes your character. It changes you face to beam. It enlightens you. And the more you dig into something, maybe get enlightened more. All of us who chose to believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, at one moment we had that. Now, whether we eased into that or it was an all of a sudden thing, okay, we still came to understand that. What is a sacrifice? What is it when you finally understood that from reading the Old Testament, having it taught? Those things illumine us, cause us to beam. So wisdom has the great value in that. So don't neglect those moments when you do have those, because something's telling you, think about this sort of thing with the wise choices. So that's a good premise that he starts with here. You know, before you understand things, you may go under great stress and confusion in your life. What in the world's going on? How can I solve this problem? Is there a solution to this problem? Well, wisdom can help you along that road. And that's, I think, is what he's trying to tell us in these first verse or so. If you have any comment along the way, please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
We don't live under a king, but with the encouragement, this text has a practical application, obviously limited, but practical application. For example, a man working for a difficult employer, a woman living with a difficult husband, parents, maybe with having children living with parents that are very whimsical and exercise their authority without consideration. Your thoughts on whether or not there'd be some practical application to that standpoint?
There is practical application in what Steve says. That in everyday life, we can see leadership over us. The positions that we should assume as leadership, we can be whimsical. We can be flippant. We cannot give the proper thought that it needs to deal with a situation. And that comes from thinking, stepping back a second and think about wisdom. There's value in consultation with others. That would you consult someone of your own age, or do you know of others that are older than you that may have situations and been through these encounters in life? And it's an interesting situation when you see teenagers consult other teenagers. Is wisdom at its highest value at that point? Well, it may depend on what they're exposed to or what they read, okay? But certainly ones who have been through the trials of life know a little more about how to apply wisdom to that situation. And in a marriage, same idea. That if there are marriages that are in trouble, marriages don't seem to function the way they should, we can apply wisdom to that by talking with others, by consulting those principles in Scripture that can strengthen a marriage. And by all means, when trouble starts, don't let it go to a conclusion before you say, oh, I better seek wisdom at this point. It needs to be done in the beginning stages of that when you see an error or a problem. Linda's exactly right. To sin in a situation, to have an evil, combative attitude, is not going to solve a problem. That's not wisdom. And we need to seek wisdom, if I may say, advice from others for this. Now, is the advice 100% sure? Will it solve the problem? Well, it may. Hopefully it's how we approach that wisdom if we're seeking that. When you're dealing with a king, though, great power structure, you got to be somewhat careful, and we'll see that in some of these verses. That in verse 2, you know, Solomon says, by wisdom, under this king, this type of king or government, or in the situation that you're in, keep the command of the king because of the oath before God. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Is that an oath? Yes. Is that a pledge? Yes. Is it blind pledge? No. As you'll see in some of these next verse, do not be in a hurry to leave him. Do not join in an evil matter. You can live life under the authority of a powerful and whimsical king who may cause harm or come your way. But don't be a sinful when you, in the obedience to that king, that you don't want to join in an evil matter. What's evil matter? Well, if I try to assassinate a president, is that an evil matter?
Yes.
If I hold a sign in front of an abortion clinic on the public street, is that an evil matter? Interesting, isn't it? Okay? It's lawful for me to do that. But am I doing some kind of protest against the king, against the rulership? So these are matters you judge. You judge. And don't join in an evil matter, for he will do whatever he pleases. Especially in a king's case, and a whimsical king, one who's capricious in his actions, just says, you're gone. You're in prison. Your property seized. And there are some countries in this world that are that way. And I dare say that if you travel the globe, you may see that sort of thing or hear that sort of thing. Yes, ma'am.
And it's not just to be a boss. So if your boss is asking you something that is not above board, maybe it's skirting the line or whatever, that's still, if it's going to go against your conscience, go against God's will, you have to take that into consideration. It's going to be sin for you.
I don't know if you heard that, but Dawn's making the application to supervision, one who has authority over you. And those situations you need to judge. Is something being done that is, you could say, unethical, or you could say it's sin. It's hurting someone else, even to the point of death, who knows, okay? False job reviews, whatever it is. So the things that the application in this life, too, that we need to be aware of when we're under that kind of authority. Are we all under authority in this life, under the sun? Yes, we are, aren't we? Okay? By others. Even the ones who are on the top, a person can bring them down. Yes?
Followers of Christ, you know, in humble submission, should even consider what we promised when we become a Christian.
We say this too, as far as honor. God has set up with positions of authority. He understands authority, one person over another. And we can see that in the New Testament, in Romans 13, where God, in the general sense, has put people in authority. And that's His will to do that. By providence, He does that. But, we still can't sin. So again, those are choices that you make in this life based on wisdom, based on experience, based on the advice of others, based on what you read in Scripture. So it has application this life here. And again, as Dawn says, in the everyday life, okay, of one under supervision, which fine, because it's always going to be that. As a matter of fact, you grow to be in supervision, okay? And sometimes you don't understand that until you have the power of reserving a job or releasing a job, okay? Performance reviews or whatever it is. And you can really disrupt another one's life, but do it justly. Seek reform in the individual first. Reform is repentance, fine. But those things that happen to us every day as an application. Again, not as extreme as a king can be, not as extreme. But these things in life that occur. And we don't want to compromise our beliefs, do we? No. No, we don't. In verse 4, since the word of the king is authoritative, who will say to him, what are you doing? In the king range, because he has life and death, do you say, what are you doing, king? You dummy, all right? That's a wrong decision. Well, you better tread carefully. Sometimes you could go to a school board meeting and have a legitimate place to stand up and air your grievances, and all of a sudden there's authority waiting at the door for you when you walk out. So you must be careful in life, okay? And you don't want to question those sort of things, especially the king and this power. Now, that's a foolish thing. What are you doing? And these days, why bring the wrath down on yourself? Why do that? Okay? Question the king. Now, in verse 5, I'm going to read 5 and 6. He who keeps a royal command experiences no trouble, for a wise heart knows the proper time and procedure. For there is a proper time and procedure for every delight when a man's trouble is heavy upon him. In some of the verses, the procedure there is the word judgment. And generally, the command should be followed. You know, you'll experience no real trouble from a king because there's going to be injustice. But remember this, judgment of that king, God's going to take care of that in his own time and judgment, his own time and procedures. And he says, if you're under that royal command, be careful, because a wise heart knows that God's going to take care of things, especially things that are beyond our control. Don't assassinate someone. God will take care of it. Evil rulers can be replaced by, I'll say, good rulers to make the contrast. So wait for that. And be careful in this life when you do that. Now in 5 and 6, Number six, for there is a proper time procedure for every delight when a man's trouble is heavy upon him. There's going to be judgments. And again, wait for God. Wait for the providence of God to deal with those. Because you've got something else as your duty in this life. Have delight in this life. Enjoy the best you can in this life. Enjoy those things that God has blessed you with in this life. And again, you're going to have heavy troubles upon you. Maybe a burden that you say, I can't bear. You can bear it. You can bear it with the right attitude, knowing that God's going to take care of things. You live the life the best you can. Enjoy your spouse. Enjoy the surroundings. Enjoy family. Enjoy the profession that you have. So that's good advice. You know, this is wisdom for living under this type of king, this type of ruler. And as far as I know, I don't think Solomon ruled that way in that sense. But he certainly knew of other kings in the area. He knew of the past history of whether it's the pharaohs of Egypt. He knew of those things. And so he writes from wisdom here, through God's wisdom. Now, in verse 7, if no one knows what will happen, God's judgment, we don't know. Who can tell him when it will happen? You know, who can tell a wise man when judgment's going to happen, when this thing's going to occur? The answer is no one can say. A definite sense. Sometimes we just need to leave things in the hands of the Almighty. And these are things I think Solomon is trying to get across to us here in this verse. And even in verse 8, it says, no man has authority to restrain the wind with the wind. Oh, I can't. I don't have authority to do that. Understand there's higher power out there. There's higher forces that can take care of these things. And that, or authority over the day of death. We've talked about this as a second issue. You know, we can extinguish someone's life now. So sure, we have that power. But generally, in the large sense, death happens, doesn't it? Sometimes it's unexpected. Sometimes it's expected. Sometimes we delay death. But death is on our mind. And so we don't have the power of that. Sure, a king has that power. But does the king sentence himself to death? You're not going to find that case. But death will come. And you'll see death as a kind of a theme somewhat runs through the book of Ecclesiastes. Because death is the final moment of life on earth to affect our eternity. And with things of power and wealth, and for those who think life is only living under the sun. So again, it's perspective to live in this life. Each of you are blessed, really blessed, to have the complete Word of God in your hands. Not partial, not incomplete, but you can see the beginning and the end. You can see the duties. You can see the influence that you can have in this life. And you see how to approach this life. And Solomon, again, in those past centuries, has given also the good advice. Enjoy life now. Do what you can in this life. Trust and obey in this life. And the next life will be so, so much better. Now, strain the wind with the wind, a day of death. And the next one here, there's no dis. Yes, sir.
Before you go to verse 9, can I make a suggestion?
Yes, sir.
We know that the punctuation is translated. Sometimes it's helpful, at least I found it helpful, pair translations that put things in paragraphs because they break the paragraph in different places. And the potential is this. It has a new paragraph with 7 and 8 go together. If you're living under this capricious king, difficult. What do you think would be a blessing? Have to kick the bucket. Have a war. Somebody kill him. Can't live for that for 7 and 8. You don't know when he's going to die. You don't know when this, if this is going to happen in a war or something else. So your advice follows. In other words, enjoy the life you have, be as wise as you can under his rule. Don't just live in anticipation of something. You don't know when it's going to happen. You can't control it. That is, death and passing, and hopefully a better ruler following. That's just a suggestion.
That's certainly true. We just touched on it a moment ago, too. That you can live that way, that things are going to change. I mentioned a while ago a presidency of 4 years or 8 years under a king, under a communist rule in China, whatever it is. Some of those things can be very harsh. And from history, we can tell that it's good that 1945 came because that ended a great amount of suffering. And so things in life can be viewed from the idea of that. Now, and there is no discharge in a time of war. I was trying to figure this one out. And because the things that cannot be controlled, things that were going to occur, and even in war, one cannot just walk away in safety. The control of that situation in war is not a man's total control. It's not under his total control. Even a king doesn't have total control over war. Because on a battlefield, changes quickly. Weather has an influence on that. And how does weather affect, who affects weather in times of war? Providence. You know, the Battle of the Bulge. And World War II was a great, great turning point for Germany and the Allies. But that harsh, harsh winter turned the tide. Turned the tide. So you never know. You never know. Now, and even to the point that doing evil will deliver people. You know, they practice this unjust rule. And that's not going to save one either. So there's some things to live by as far as through verse 8. Now, in verse 9, all this I have seen. Solomon seen it. And applied my mind. He gave it full attention. Full attention. To every deed, I guess that's all of them, that has been done under the sun, wherein a man, I think talking about this king, has exercised authority over another man to his hurt. He's seen it. And that's just, I guess you'd say, again, I used the word truism before. You know, when this type of king operates, there's going to be hurt involved. Whether it's a supervisor, a boss, or whatever it is, one who's in great authority. And it happens. Now, physical hurt can be a lot of things. Again, you can imagine what you want on that. I think I'll just leave that to you. But certainly we know that there were dungeons involved in the old days. There were things of death, banishment, a lot of things like that. So sometimes when kingdoms were taken over, all the wives, children, all kin were killed. So there's things that can cause a lot of hurt when you let, and again, he's explained here that he's exhausted it thoroughly. And you got to be careful of authority. Now, verse 10. So then, I have seen the wicked buried, those who used to go in and out from the holy place, and they are soon forgotten in the city where they did this. This to you is futility. Even the wicked have an end, don't they? They're going to be buried. Is that evil? maybe great enjoyment. Who knows? Because this is a wicked king. And it's interesting, those who used to go in and out from the holy place proclaim religion, proclaim faith, proclaimed someone beyond themselves. And even their worship did not keep them from death and being buried. It was all the power they used over others' life and death, even those, okay, would end up in death and in the grave. Now, and in that next verse, in the end of verse 10, even these powerful leaders are forgotten. Because hopefully something new and better has replaced them. When Saul left office, were people happy that David came into power? Yes. So we've seen from history here that these are things that Solomon knew about closely. So these things do occur. Now, in this next session, justice nor wickedness guarantees long life. We just saw that it's futility, the way the king operates and all that. Really, are you living under the sun? There's another one after you. There's another person after you. But in this next group, it says, wickedness guarantees long life. I guess we can all answer this one pretty quick. Do the good die young? Do the wicked live long lives? That's just, it happens in life under the sun. And it's something here that Solomon is observing. And he's going to have a few verses concerning this. And if there's justice, when I say justice to you versus wickedness, what do you think about when you think justice? Judgment? Yes, sir.
In verse 11, you read, because the census is against an evil deed and not executed quickly. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. You can see that in places like California, New York, we have these stalk on crime judges, or even here where we live. Instead of giving a just census of these people, or a census of the crime, that basically,
Alex has expertly said that in verse 11, because the sentence against the evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. The deterrent is gone. And again, like Alex has said, you just go, it's a revolving door under pick up and release, pick up and release. And what does that do? What does that do? What do you think about evil when that happens all the time? What do you think about judgment? What do you think about a sentence? Okay? It really promotes more evil actions, doesn't it? Things that are executed not on themselves, but on others. And this is something Solomon has seen. And so there's a great check mark here for those of the system of judgment, systems of judicial action. That now, how can that affect one life when you put off something, okay, that needs to be corrected, and you let it go? Does that happen in life today? You got three grandkids. Uh-oh. Do you let it go? No, even yesterday they were one was beating up on the other one. It's pretty hard. And their mother stepped in. What can I say? Harshly? Okay? And so if you let that go, harm can come to those. And also, you may have escalation, can't you, of a situation. So those are things in life that you deal with something as it comes in front of you. Now, can you deal with it instantly? Well, sometimes it may take a little organization to deal with it. But there are things in life that if you don't deal with it, it's going to grow. Especially when in the hearts of evil people, it can really grow. Okay? If there's no judgments or sentencing involved. Again, these are, again, truisms for today. David and
Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point here that Linda makes. Here's David and Bathsheba. And that would have gone on. It would have gone on if no one would have said something. And Nathan did. And the wisdom of God through Nathan's mouth made David repent. That's why we have Solomon. So there are things in this life that have application for the idea of letting things go. Yes, ma'am.
David suffered for that the rest of his life.
Yes. But he repented when Nathan approached him.
But he still suffered the bad thing.
Now, in verse 12, chapter 8, although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life. And again, we're talking about long life is not guaranteed, is it? Long life is not guaranteed. Although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know that it will be well for those who fear God, who fear him openly. And the converse of that is in verse 13, but it will not be well for the evil man or the wicked man, for he will not lengthen his days like a shadow because he does not fear God. Long life is not guaranteed for the good or the wicked. So therefore, how should we live our life? Enjoy every day. Do the best you can. Consider others. Yes, sir.
We like to have examples we can think of people who have lived long lives, but they've been just doing evil their whole lives. They get to their grandparent age or great grandparent age, and the wisdom, the advice they would give would be rooted in the choices they made their life. And they weren't good choices. But they lived a long life. So do we take that wisdom? We want to live a long life, whatever it takes. It's not about living a long life. We have stories of people who live faithful lives and live a long life. They may give reasons on how to live a long life. The point isn't about living a long life. The point is fearing God. Stories about that we have experiences with that are meant to prove a point. Someone may have a similar story, but it's not rooted in wisdom that can prove the same point, how to lengthen your life, how to have more health or wealth. This is not a health or wealth thing. We
hear God face.
That's right. That's right. And what's interesting in the last part of this, who fear him openly. What do you think openly means? Yeah. You know, we just saw a minute ago about talking about vows. Keep your vows. Keep your vows. Can that be done openly? Sure. Sure. If you're openly doing good things, can you see the way you treat your family? Can others see that? That's openly. You know, can you see the respect for God's will in the choices that you make? Is that openly? And what's the benefit if it's openly done? Who's it benefit?
It benefit others who have the same belief.
Yeah. It's just like on our assembly here, it strengthens us, doesn't it? That we're here as a group with a purpose.
It can also benefit
us by providing. That's right. And Don's making an excellent point here about the idea that our examples, the way we live our life openly, others can see that and say, why do you do that? Well, because I'm going to die one day. And eternal life is for everyone. And there's two choices. Which choice do you want? Let me explain that. My views on that. So there's great benefit in that, doing things openly. But generally, in the world, the people look at that view, but they look at hypocrisy in one's life. Things done openly. And does not hypocrisy ruin what you're going to say to them? It's really maybe opposite of it. So great lessons here about again, fear him openly. Fear is respect. Fear could be the idea of judgment. Again, through providence. When you die and when you don't. What you've accomplished in life. And he says in verse 14, there is futility which is done on the earth. That is, there are righteous men to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. And on the other hand, there's evil men to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I say this too is futility. You know, neither justness nor wickedness will guarantee a long life. Both are vain so far as there's no profit or advantage under the sun. Both will leave life under the sun. So maybe a disorder here. And again, the righteous will suffer from the wicked, and the wicked will prosper from the righteous. These are things just the way it works under the sun. So we'll continue there and finish up chapter 8 next time with verse 15 on, and then look at the questions after that. Thank you. Continue reading. Thank you.